From the KTOO newsroom, I'm Anna Canny. The Alaska chapter of Planned Parenthood has filed a lawsuit against the state to challenge a 50-year-old law that restricts certain healthcare workers from providing abortions. Superior Court Judge Josie Garten heard arguments last week in an Anchorage courtroom. Alaska Public Media's Rachel Cassandra was there and has this story.
The law in question says that in Alaska, only doctors can perform abortions, not advanced practice clinicians, such as physician assistants, nurse practitioners, and nurse midwives. Non-physicians aren't allowed to prescribe pills to induce abortion either. Planned Parenthood's Alaska chapter argues that the restriction limits access to abortion. Camilla Vega is an attorney for Planned Parenthood.
All major medical organizations agree that these providers can provide this care, and Alaska restricts it. And you can't do that in a state where there's a fundamental right to abortion. And so that's why we brought this case.
22 states allow advanced practice clinicians to provide abortions. At the moment, Alaska is among them. That's because 2 years ago, a state judge temporarily blocked the 1970s-era restriction. So while the case is pending, a wider range of clinicians is allowed to provide medication abortions. But if the law isn't overturned, Vega says patients will have to go back to vying for scarce appointments with doctors. Or if they live in a rural area, they might have to wait to travel to a city. And Vega says timeliness is crucial for people who decide to end a pregnancy.
When people need abortions, they need them when they need them. And they don't need them based on a physician's schedule.
Vega says not everyone is impacted by this law equally. Some people are more vulnerable to it interfering with their lives.
It's low-income people. It's people who have caregiving responsibilities, who have inflexible work schedules, who have issues with transportation, who are victims of intimate partner violence. It's young people who may not want their parents to know about their decision.
Margaret Peyton Walsh is an attorney for the state of Alaska and defended the case. She says Planned Parenthood did not show in court that this law is a burden to patients. They presented no data that abortion rates went up after the provider restriction was temporarily lifted. Nor, she says, did they have any testimony from pregnant women who had trouble scheduling an abortion when the restriction was in effect.
The inability to quantify at all makes the whole case completely speculative. It's all just based on this sort of hypothetical feeling about what must have happened because of how things are. But the reality is that women are delayed in accessing abortion care for a variety of reasons.
Peyton Walsh says that people do experience barriers to medical services all the time, but not necessarily because of this law.
A lot of them are to do with the personal realities of their life, that trying to get time off work or childcare. Those problems exist regardless of who's providing the care. And to show that the law creates a problem, they have to show that the law, the lack of physician appointment availability, is what caused delay.
And she says, without clear proof the law is a burden, it's not something the court should decide.
Who gets to provide what service, licensing, those sorts of rules, those are legislative decisions, they're policy decisions, and they're not decisions that should be made by courts of law in the absence of evidence that there is a burden on a constitutional right.
Judge Garten's decision is likely months away. Whichever side loses could appeal to the Alaska Supreme Court. In Anchorage, I'm Rachel Cassandra.
Dozens of people turned out for an at times emotional Bureau of Land Management meeting in Kotzebue earlier this month to share their concerns over the controversial Ambler Road project. The meeting is the latest phase in a decades-long saga of the development. As KOTZ's Desiree Hagen reports, only one person voiced their support for the project, an employee of the company that wants to build it.
All right. Just want to say, Koyana, this is quite a turnout.
About 70 people packed into Kotzebue's Youth Center to give public and written testimony on the draft supplemental environmental impact statement for the proposed Ambler Road project. Over 24 people expressed their concerns for the project during the four-hour meeting. Only one person came out to express his support. Jeff San Juan is the program manager for the project and works for Alaska Industrial Development and Export Authority, or ADA, the state-owned bank that wants to build the road. San Juan was critical of the permitting process, accusing the Bureau of Land Management of using scare tactics and including, quote, speculative and editorial content.
There are unfounded opinions and worst-case scenarios stated as facts, such as the assumption of numerous catastrophic scenarios.
The BLM's most recent permitting document is over 1,300 pages. A judge in 2022 found that a previous permitting document insufficiently addressed subsistence and cultural impacts of the project. San Juan said that mining roads can actually help subsistence. He said the Red Dog Road in Northwest Alaska is an example.
Historically, precedents in Alaska demonstrate that industrial access roads have operated for decades with minimal impacts.
A 2021 assessment by the Alaska Department of Environmental Conservation found that between 1995 and 2020, there were nearly 500 spills associated with transportation along the Red Dog Road. Of those spills, 140 were considered hazardous or extremely hazardous. A separate study last year found small airborne particles from ore trucks along the road increased concentrations of zinc, lead, and cadmium in lichen, a main food source for caribou. San Juan also pushed back on the assumption that since ADA, Alaska's state-owned development bank, would be the primary financier for the Ambler Road, that it will become a public access road.
Again, another scare tactic. The fact is, the road will be privately controlled and permitted for industrial access only.
Earlier this year, after ADA was unable to pay a debt, it transferred ownership of a North Slope road to an undeveloped oil project to the state of Alaska. Roswell Lincoln Schaefer spoke directly to San Juan in his testimony at the meeting.
I don't know what planet you live in. But, you know, I was born and raised here, and I lived here in Kotzebue for 76 years. And it's my understanding that any road that ADA supports cannot be made an exclusive industrial road. You cannot discriminate against the people of this state of Alaska. And it will go to court, and that road will be opened very quickly.
Although the road would not be open to the general public by design, recent permitting documents state that public use and trespass are expected to occur. The draft SEIS says, quote, it is reasonably foreseeable that the road would become open to public access in the future, end quote. Schaefer said he spoke for others who shared similar concerns. Many worried about exploitation from mining companies, violence against women at man camps, and how development would impact the mostly untouched ecosystems the road would pass through. Others questioned claims of economic benefits from the road and resulting mining development. Anchorage resident Alex Johnson is with the National Parks Conservation Association.
In effect, we see this as a road to speculation, and that the claims from project proponents are not based in sound science or economics. Third-party economic assessments have determined that this project would cost the state of Alaska over $2 billion and require 30 years of continuous mining activity just to break even.
Kotzebue resident Brittany Sweeney is a member of Protect the Kobuk, a local grassroots organization opposed to the road. Sweeney says the culture in the Upper Kobuk region, which has a unique language dialect and harvesting practices, is too precious to risk. She says toxins from the mines would affect Kotzebue as salmon and sheefish spawn upriver.
I believe it's important to remember that subsistence is an economy, and it feeds people's spirits as well as their stomachs. Why should we risk the subsistence economy that we do have to create jobs that will mainly go to outsiders and make mining companies wealthy?
Clarence Putjuk Wood Grippenchog is from the community of Ambler. He says mining operations would destroy his and many upriver villages' identity and lifeways.
Who are we in Yupak if we cannot hunt? Who are we if we cannot fish? Who are we if we cannot live off the land as we have for thousands of years?
Others said that there wasn't clear communication about the project and permitting documents were inaccessible. In Kotzebue, I'm Desiree Hagen.
The release of the draft environmental impact statement for Ambler Road in late October triggered a 60-day public comment period, which ends on December 22nd. The public can view the document and participate by going to the BLM's website. For more stories, you can check out ktoo.org.